This is what I went through. I had a complete limbs change.
Good morning, everyone. Our weekly share from Maseches Chagiga is sponsored by Yitz Weiss, who always strives to make the results of your tax filings a good reason for a Korban Chagiga. And a refuah shlema for Binyamin Simcha Ben Adina Aminya. The weekly breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Le'uli Nishmas, Shimon Ben Zev, and Fega Bas Chaim. Okay, so welcome back, everyone. Here we go. We're at the Mishnah on the top of Tes Amud Aleph. Now, the Mishnah is going to be discussing one of the interesting elements of the Korban Chagiga. As we know, the whole experience of Chagiga had numerous different components, but one of the unique aspects of the Korban Chagiga is the ability to make it up if one, for whatever reason, for whatever occasion, missed it. So the Mishnah says the following: Mi shelo chag beyom tov harishon shel chag. So says Rashi, somebody who did not bring the Korban Chagiga on the first day of the chag. You're supposed to bring the Korban Chagiga on day one of the chag. So somebody who did not do such a thing, somebody who did not do that. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah says, chogeg es kol haregel. Can bring that korban the entire regel. Ideally, it should be brought on the first day. If you miss the first day, you have a makeup. You could bring it the entire regel. V'yom tov achron shel chag. And you could also bring it on the last day of the chag. Chag, in this context of the Mishnah, refers to Sukkos. The fact that you could bring it on the yom tov achron shel chag refers to Shmini Atzeres. And that is a little bit of a chiddush. It's a chiddush because we know that Shmini Atzeres is what the Gemara referred to in Rosh Hashanah, if we remember, all the way back in Rosh Hashanah. As a rego bifnei atzmo, it is its own independent holiday. And we have spoken many, many times in the drushas about the dual identity of Shmini Atzeres. That on one hand, it is a rego bifnei atzmo, and the Gemara depicts six different ways, actually, that it's a rego bifnei atzmo. It has its own shechianu, it has its own karban, it has its own mention in the tefillah. It's a rego bifnei atzmo. On the other hand, it's Shmini Atzeres. You can't deny the fact that embedded into its identity is a relationship to Sukkos. It's not just, it's not just coincidentally juxtaposed to the end of Sukkos. It has within it certain echoes of the influence of the identity of Sukkos. It is Shmini Atzeres. And one of the ways in which it is related to Sukkos more than any other way, substantially, is this. Is the fact that even though Shmini Atzeres is the beginning of a new holiday, nevertheless, it could serve as a day of Tashlumin for the Korban Chagiga that was really about the last holiday, which was the holiday of Sukkos, that you missed on the first day of Sukkos. So that's the extra chiddush. Not only is it Chogeg, it's Kol HaRegel, not only the entire Regel, but V'yom Tov HaAcharon Shel Chag. Avar haregel velo chag. Let's say the regel ended, Simchas Torah is over, the Ne'ilas HaChag is over, and you all of a sudden realize you didn't bring your Korban Chagiga. Eino chayav b'achriyuso. There's nothing that you have to do moving forward. Al zeh ne'emar, on this circumstance, the Pasuk says in Koheles, me'uvas lo yuchol liskon, ve'chesron lo yuchal lihimanos. Which means that is bent cannot be fixed, that is missing cannot be counted, which is basically another way of saying, you lost it, you missed it. Not everything, exactly. You snooze, you lose. Not everything can be redone. There are ramifications for not following through on one's religious requirements. So Rav Shimon ben Menasya Omer, Rav Shimon ben Menasya said, now the Mishnah has other examples, Ezehu, what does it really mean? Me'uvas lo yuchal liskon. Ezu me'uvas shene yuchal liyisakein. What does the pasuk mean when it refers to something that is bent that cannot be fixed? Zehaba al ha'erva v'havlad mimena mamzer. Right? So we know that the human being lives with a certain degree of temptation. And sometimes, lo aleinu, somebody succumbs to that temptation and has a relationship that is an illicit relationship. So such a thing is a terrible violation. It's a violation of Bin Adam Lamakom. It could be a violation, tremendous violation of the integrity of and sanctity of a marriage, of a other type of relationship. It could be much worse, other type of a relationship. But at the end of the day, there's what that could be done to try to restore the mistake, right? There's therapy, there's counseling, there's tshuva, there's what you could do. However, if there is, from some illicit relationships, not all, the consequence is the vlad, the child that is born, is a mamzer. A mamzer cannot be yavo l'kal Hashem, cannot come into the kal Hashem. And a mamzer is a tremendous tragedy. So if a mamzer is born, that's not something that is reversible. We can't reverse a mamzer. There's Tosis and Gittin that talks about, there are a lot of ideas that floated around about trying to deal with mamzerus, but it's not simple. So the Gemara says, Im tomer begone vegozel, if you want to say that a ganav and a gazlin is also in this paradigm of me'uvas lo yuchal iskon, no, yachal ulach zero v'yitokin. A gazlin and a gazlin, they can return the object that was lost, or if they sold it or they destroyed it, they could at least provide restitution, financial compensation. Rav Shimon Yochai Omer, Rav Shimon Yochai says, no, ein korin me'uvas lo yuchal liskon. We only say that something is called bent, ela lemisha haya mesukon betchilo. It refers to circumstances where something was proper initially, v'nisavos, and it became bent. What does that refer to? V'ezeh, zeh tamud chacham aporish min haTorah. This refers to a terrible circumstance when we encounter a tamud chacham who understood the values of Torah and was a representative of the values of Torah, embodied the values of Torah, and for one reason or another ended up being poresh min haTorah. Okay. Minohani mili. So now the Gemara asks, how do we know this? How do we know what? How do we know that there's such a concept that if you miss the opportunity to offer the Korban Chagiga, that you could have Tashlumin, that you could make it up, So Minohani mili. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yishmael, Nemar Atzeres Beshvi Shal Pesach. It says the word Atzeres. So the Gemara's question here, by the way, is not necessarily just, as we're going to see soon, about the 7 days of the Chag, but includes the last day of Chag, that day of Shmini Atzeres, which is really a regel b'fnei atzmo. So the Gemara says, it says by Pesach, Atzeres, use the word Atzeres to describe Shmini Shal Pesach. V'nemar Atzeres b'Shmini Shal Chag. And it uses the word Atzeres to describe the eighth day of Sukkot. So the Gemara says, Ma'ala halon l'tashlumin, just like the entire week of Pesach can be considered tashlumin, you are allowed to use any of those days to fix what you did wrong and to go ahead and bring the Korban Chagiga. Afkan l'tashlumin, so too, the eighth day of Sukkot, even though it's a regel bifnei atzmo, since its identity is such that it is referred to as an atzeres, there is a parallel between that identity in the 7 days of Pesach, so too that day as well, even though it seems to go against its core essence of being its own regel, it too, this is a chiddush, it too can serve as a day of tashlumin. The Gemara says, mufna. So to make such a gzeres shava, so sometimes gzeres shavas are made, as we know, sometimes it's like, yeah, it says this here, it says that here, this is true there, that must be true there. But sometimes a gzeres shava has to be an extrapolatory device that its antecedent is in a word that in and of itself stands entirely as extraneous. If that's true, then it's sort of omate. It's waiting to have something learned out from it. To just say that it uses this language here and that language there, let's make a comparison, that's one level of gzeres shava. But a deeper, a stronger gzeres shava is a gzeres shava where the word is literally open for interpretation because it is extraneous in terms of its simple meaning. Everybody with me? So the Gemara says, de'ilav mufna, because if it wasn't such a strong gzeres shava where the word atzeres was free, ikla mifrach ma'al shvi shal pesach shekein eno cholok mishalafonav, tamar b'shmini shachag shecholok milafonav. I would ask a kach on this gzeres shava. That's very nice that you're comparing the two, but there is something in the identity of Shmini Atzeres that clarifies its independence that doesn't exist on the Shvi Shal Pesach. So you may be using the same word to draw certain parallels, but there's such a fundamental paradigmatic distinction between these two contexts that perhaps those parallels become irrelevant. So the Gemara says, if that word atzeres is extra, that means there's something about the identity of Shmini Atzeres that we actually didn't know. And so the Gemara says, Layafune Mufna, that actually it is extra. Why? Michti, my atzeres, what does the word atzeres mean? Atzur ba'asiyas melocha. To stop, atzeres melocha. That's the word atzur means, to stop. Right? In Israel, don't the stop signs say? Right?
Atzur.
Atzur. Mm-hmm. That's what they say, right? It's a recommendation, but that's what they say. Right? It's an Eitz HaTovah. Hoksiv, but it says, lo sasekol melocha, lo sasekol melocha. Says you shouldn't do melacha. So, atzeres techasav rachman alamali. So what do I need the word atzeres for? I already know you're not allowed to do melacha explicitly. So, elishma minei lafnuye. So that word atzeres really is extra. If it really is extra, it is open for this stronger gzeres shav. V'tana lamaisi lameacha. And another tana learned it from here. The tana learned in the braisa. V'chagosam oso. V'chagosem oso. Chag laHashem, what does the pasuk say? Shivas yamim, right? The poor pasuk is v'chagosem oso chag laHashem shivas yamim, 7 days. Bashana chukas olam l'dorosechem bechodesh hashvi'i, in the 7th month, tachogu oso. You should celebrate it. So the Gemara says, yachol yechogeg v'holech kol shiva. I might think you just bring the karma chagiga any day you want, kol shiva. Right, whatever day you want, says Rashi Tam Lomar Oso. It says the word Oso. Oso atachogeg v'i atachogeg kol shiva. You should bring it on that first day and not the whole 7 days. Imkein lama nemar shiva. So then why does it say shiva if you're supposed to only bring it on that first day? Tashlumin, to tell you that it's l'tashlumin, that you can make it up. Uminayim shim lochag yom tov arishin shochag shechogeg v'holech es kol haregel. Uminayin shim lo chag yom tov arishon shochag shechogeg b'holech es kol haregel v'yom tov ha'acharon tamalomer bechodesh hashvi. How do you know that you could do it also the last day? So the Gemara says it says chodesh hashvi tachogu oso. So iba chodesh hashvi yochol yechogeg b'holech achodesh kulo. If it was the 7th month, if the Torah was saying you could do it all the whole month, it sounds like you could do it kol achodesh tamalomer oso. It has to be on a specific day. Oso atachogeg v'i atachogeg chutzolo. You have to bring it specifically on that day and not on another day. Umay tashlumin. And that refers to the tashlumin. Okay, Rav Yochanan Omar, Rav Yochanan says the following. Tashlumin l'rishon. That the tashlumin we're dealing with here is the tashlumin of the first day. So what does that mean? So this Gemara is a little lumdish. In other words, a little conceptual, right? There are two different ways to view the makeup for what you lost originally, right? One way to view it is that the only time that this is an obligation is on that first day, and there is an institution of Tashlumin that affords you the right to be able to make up what you missed of your obligation on the first day. That's one possibility. The other possibility is each day shares a equal representation of the obligation of the Korban Chagiga. However, there is a precedence to having it on the first day. You should lecharchila bring it on the first day, but really every day has within it a certain element, a certain dimension of chiyuv. What's the difference between the two? So the Gemara says, this is a machlokas. Umay tashlumin. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Omar tashlumin derishon. Umay tashlumin. What's the tashlumin? Rabbi Yochanan Omar tashlumin derishon. It refers to tashlumin of the first day. Rav Oshi Omar tashlumin zelazeh. It refers to tashlumin each and every day. My benayu, what's the difference between the two? Am Rabbi Zera chiger biyom rishon v'nispashit biyom sheni. Right? Let's say a person is in one of the categories that was exempt on the first day. So if you're in a category that was exempt on the first day, do you have an obligation to bring it on the second day? So if the nature of Tashlumin is such, like Rabbi Yochanan says, that it's just Tashlumin derishon, you're really just making up what you were obligated on the first day. So then if you weren't obligated on the first day, what happens the rest of the time?
You're putter,
because there's nothing to talk about. You didn't have that obligation on the first day. But if the obligation is to go each and every... It sounds like a Minchas Chinuch, right? But it's a Gemara, right? If the Minchas Chinuch loves the, like, becoming bar mitzvah and sfira and the you know, all these types of questions. Gerus during Hanukkah and all these, right? So, but if the whole Tashlumin is, if the whole Tashlumin is really Tashlumin Zelazeh, so then great, so you were Pater the first day, and that accounts for your exemption, but you're now Chayiv the second day, because each day has a Chiyuv. This is the Machlokes Amoraim. So the Gemara says, Ika Beinai, Rabbi Yochanan Tashlumin Derishon, right? That's the difference. Rabbi Yochanan Amar says, Rabbi Yochanan says, Tashlumin Derishon, came into Lo Chazi Berishon, Lo Chazi Besheni. Since you weren't Chazi Berishon, since you weren't relevant on the first day, Lo Chazi Besheni. Rav Oshia Amar Tashlumin Zelazeh. Apagav de Lo Chazi Berishon, even though you weren't obligated, not really obligated, you weren't, it wasn't possible to bring on the Rishon, yeah, you weren't obligated. Chazi b'sheni. You could still bring on the sheni. So now the Gemara asks a question. Here we go. Umi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi. So let's follow this logic. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? That it's tashlumin berishon? Meaning that if you are exempt on the first day, if you are exempt in the zone of the original obligation, that then follows that the restitution obligation is now totally irrelevant, is out of the picture. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say that? I ha'omer chizki. We have the following case. We need Rashi to tell us what this means. Nidma biyom, maybe balayla eno maybe. So what happens? So says Rashi, the Gemara in Krisus tells us that we have a nazir. And we know that a nazir has to say stay tohor throughout his nazirus. Nazir becomes tameh in the middle of this nazirus. The Torah talks about it. There's like a reset to the nazirus. Now, let's say the nazir becomes tameh. So one of the things that happens is he waits 7 days, and then he brings a korban, and then he starts the nazirus again. Okay? Now, there are two scenarios at the extreme, right? Scenario one at the extreme is where the nazir... Now, what happens in this case in Croesus, that's all normal. That's all that happens. What happens in the case in Croesus is that the nazir becomes tamei again at the end of his waiting period, at the end of these 7 days. So there are two cases of the extremes. If we understand the extremes, then we'll understand the case under debate. The case number one of the extreme is where the tumah happened in the middle of these 7 days. If it happened in the middle of these 7 days, all the way up until day seven, then everyone agrees, there's no question. You basically just extended the tumah. So the clock starts again. You have to wait another 7 days. But when those 7 days are over, you only bring one korban because there was one long tumah. And that's it. The other scenario at the extreme that everyone agrees with is if the 7 days complete entirely, right? And then he sees tumah again. Then he becomes tameh again. So, and he does so before he has the opportunity to bring the korban on the eighth day. The korban's brought on the eighth day. Then everybody agrees that that is a situation where he's going to be obligated at the end of the next 7 days to bring two sets of korbanos. Because everyone agrees his first tumah ended. It's just he didn't get a chance to bring the korban. And then his second tumah started. And so now he has to bring a korbanos for both. The case under debate is where it happens the night between the 7th and the 8th. What's so mystical and special about the night? I mean, the motzei the 7th, really the beginning of the 8th. What's so special about that day?
We're talking
nighttime, nighttime. Not Bein HaShemashos, nighttime. But this night is very complicated. Because on one hand, his 7 days are over. And if his 7 days are over, it should really be like day number 8. And if his 7 days are over, that means if he becomes tameh that night, then at the end of the next 7 days, he should bring how many?
Two.
But there's something else about this night. Even though this night, the tumah's over, as opposed to the next day, where everybody agrees it would be two, it's not like you could bring this korban even if you wanted to, because you can't bring the korban at night. You have to bring the korban the next day. So you are prevented from bringing the korban at night. You are not able to bring the korban at night. So the question is, if the tumah happens at that night, are you chayiv at the end of the next 7 days too? Because at the end of the day, you had two tumahs, and the second tumah didn't start till the clock started, even though you couldn't bring the korban. Or since you can't bring the carbon, there's nothing to talk about. Therefore, it's still a ritzifus of the earlier time. Everybody with me? This is a machlokas amoron. It's very confusing. It took me a very long time last night to understand this. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, V'achik Amar. V'Amar Chizkiya, Nitma B'yom Mevi. If you become Tamei during the day, right, on the 8th, everybody agrees, you bring Mevi, you bring two. But Balayla, if you become Tamei that night, Eino Mevi. So says the Tanakama, or says the first din here, the first opinion, the Chizkiya opinion, the Chizkiya, right? You don't bring Eino Mevi, then you don't bring it. Why Eino Mevi? So we all understand why Eino Mevi. Because you were never Nischayev in the Karban Arishon. Since you're never Nischayev in the Karban Arishon, therefore, Eino Mevi. You don't bring the first one. Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Rabbi Yochanan says, Af Balayla Nami Mevi. Even Balayla you bring, says Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Ho, v'tovel l'tumasa rishona, since you were tovel for your first tumah, v'herev shimsho, and the sun went down on that seventh afternoon. Now at the seventh night, it's the night after the seventh day, the eve of the eighth night, nischayiv b'karbon, you're chayiv in a karbon. V'afa pishen laila roi l'karbon, and even though the laila is not roi in the karbon, right? Even though the laila is not roi in the karbon, we still consider it as if. It's maybe we still consider it as if it's relevant. Alma avagav de lo roi le carbon yesh lo tashlumin. So that's the kicker. Even though the night's not roi le carbon, yesh lo tashlumin. There's still relevancy of that night insofar as this process as it moves forward to the next day. So that's a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan's the one that said that if you miss the Yom Tov Rishon, if you're not chayiv in the Yom Tov Rishon, if it's not shayich, and not if you miss, but that was wrong. If it's not shayich in the Yom Tov Rishon, just like it's not shayich to bring this korban at night, if it's not shayich in the Yom Tov Rishon, then there's no tashlumin. Tashlumin is only, right? Tashlumin is only if it was shayich be Yom Tov Rishon and you missed it. But if you were potter be Yom Tov Rishon, it no longer has relevancy moving forward. However, when it comes to Tumah with the Nazir, even though it's not Shayach at night, there is no carbon at night, nevertheless, moving forward, it is relevant. It is relevant. You bring two. Because Lamaisa, you're in the Parsha of that same day. So says the Gemara, no. Everybody got the Kasha? Says the Gemara, Shani Tumah. Tumah is different. Don't compare Tumah to Yontif. You could substantiate a position where if there's no shaychus to the first day, if there's no chiyuv on the first day, ein lo tashlumin, and even though there's no karbon on the first night, yesh lo tashlumin. Why could you substantiate that? Because tumah has embedded within its identity a precedent that we do have tashlumin when things are not shaych. Where does that come from? It comes from Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni. The Yesh Tashlum and Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is a situation. It says Rashi, going to Elul Pesach Sheni, Shai Mishlo Nira Berishon, somebody who's not around on the first day of Pesach, Yesh Tashlum. Aval Anilcha Miplein Dover Acher Lo Matzinu Yesh Tashlum and Avala Nira Im Kein Nira Lahavi. So that's what it sounds like. Tumah's exceptional because we have this case of Pesach Sheni. So Tumah is an exceptional situation where even if it's, but in general, if it's not Shayach, Rabbi Yochanan would be right that Ein Lo Tashlumin. So the Gemara says, Hine Chalaman Damar, that teretz only works according to the opinion that says, Pesach Sheni Tashlumin Derishon, that the whole institution of Pesach Sheni, his Tashlumin Derishon, right? So if it's Tashlumin Derishon, so we see, says, right, that you're making up for what you were chayev in the beginning. And therefore, it's relevant to this comparison. But according to some, according to the way we paskin, that it's really a regel bifnei atzmo. Rashi. See, if it's a regel bifnei atzmo, for example, let's say someone's not Jewish. Let's say someone converts between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, right? So it's a regel bifnei atzmo. Now you're chayav in Pesach Sheni, you take Pesach Sheni. So one second. So if that's the halacha, so that sounds like how is Pesach Sheni a raya that tumah is different when Pesach Sheni itself is a situation where we hold the whole identity of Pesach Sheni is that it's a rego bifnei atzma. That's not true about the case that we're dealing with. So my ikla meimar. So what are you going to say? Elo amar apapa kasav Rav Yochanan laila eino mechusar zman. So Rav Papa has a totally different track to solve this problem. When Rav Yochanan said about the Nazir that the Laila is not shayach for a korban, just like our chigir is not shayach for a korban, and that's where we got this kasha from, even though it's not shayach, you're instituting tashlumin, and here it's not shayach and you're not instituting tashlumin, so what's going on? So that presumption that Laila is not shayach for the korban, that's an incorrect presumption. That so Rav Yochanan holds Laila eino mechusar zman, that the nature of the obligation of the karbon is fully expressive at night. It's a technicality that at nighttime you can't offer it. The same technicality that you can't find the knife at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's a technicality. So if it's a technicality, that means the Laila is just like the yom. If the Laila is just like the yom, then you have two karbonos, right? You have two karbonos that you're chayev at the end of the second naziros, because the laila is just like the yom. That's why if you see balaila, you're maybe, according to Rabbi Yochanan. But that doesn't prove that in a case where you're not shayach to the situation, like chiger b'yom rishon, that you should have tashlumin. You shouldn't have tashlumin. This is a unique case. He is shayach to the karbon. It's like the chiger is, it's like it's not a chiger. It's something else. You couldn't go because your horse didn't move. You got on the horse to travel to Yerushalayim. Turns out the horse has a flat tire. So you couldn't go. Okay, I can't go. Just like I can't bring a korban at night. It's not mechusar zman. It's shayach. I just can't bring it at night. It's a technicality. That's not a chiker. Chiker means you're potter. This is not a case where you're not potter from the korban at night. You're chayiv in the korban at night. It's a technicality. So therefore, that's his solution. Umi amar Rabbi Yochanan achi. Did Rav Yochanan really say that Laila is not Mechusar Zman? Okay, it's a little confusing because it's a double negative, right? Laila being Eino Mechusar Zman is another way of saying that Laila is the Zman, right? Why the Gemara chose to put it that way, I don't know, right? But it's just another way of saying that Laila is a Zman for the Korban. If you say it like that, it's less confusing. Right? Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Achi, did he really say that Laila is this man for a korban? V'ha Amar Rabbi Yochanan, now we have a different case of taros. Ra achas b'layla v'shtayim b'yom. Okay, so what's going on here? So here we have a situation where we have a zav. And the way a zav works, how does a zav work? A zav is somebody that sees some sort of emission. And if you see it once, it's considered like a balkeri. That's not a high level of tumah. You see it twice, now you're involved in Zayin Nikiyim. You see it three times, now you're involved in Zayin Nikiyim and a korban. Zayin Nikiyim is 7 clean days. We're used to only relating to these halachos with regards to women. But the halachos of Zayin Nikiyim, these kinds of things apply to men too in certain circumstances, but it's only relevant to taros, not to the Isurim of couples being together, so it's no longer relevant to us today. But at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, it was very relevant. So what happens if the following thing happens? Ra achas balayla, says Rashi, Zav shesofer zayin nikiyim, kimishpato. A Zav counts the 7 clean days. V'tobo v'herev shimsho, and he goes to mikvah at the end of those 7 days. V'chazer v'ra achas balayla, Vishtayim Lamachar. So what happens? That 7th night after mikvah, he sees one. That shouldn't be a problem. But then the next day, he sees two. So the next day he sees two. The halacha is, Mevi karban al tuma shniya zu levad min karban shiyava al rishon. He has to bring 2 karbanos. Why? Since he was eligible to bring the karban for the first one, before the second one came. In other words, all he saw was one. One does not make you chayiv in a korban. It's the same thing as the Nazir. If he becomes fully Tamei during the Zayinikim, it's just a Ritzifus of the original one. If the Zayinikim ended, and a new Tumah started before he had the chance to bring the Karbon, so then he'll have to bring two. So the question is, exact same scenario. If it happened before he went to Mikvah, everybody agrees, just a continuation of the original. If it happened after he went to Mikvah, and all on the eighth day, but before he brought the carbon, everybody agrees. That's going to be two. Here we have a split. The split is one of the re'ios happens on the eve of the eighth, right? So that really, in and of itself, shouldn't do anything. And two of them happen on the day of the eighth, when the carbon becomes chal. So the halacha is your mevi, because the chi of carbon set in before, right? The full zivus of the zav tuma. However, says the Gemara, shtayim balayla v'achas bayom. If you see two the seventh night and one the eighth day, then eino mevi. Then you don't bring. Okay, everybody with me? Not really. That right? Then you don't bring. Why don't you bring? Because now the original Tumah is, now the second Tumah is a continuation of the original Tumah, right? Because two were during that time of night, and only one was during the day. You starting to see the parallel? I didn't see it for like 10 times, so why don't we say it one more time, right? Just like the case of the Nazir. Remember the case of the Nazir? We're trying to figure out, when something happens, when you have a series of days that you have to wait in order to purify from something, and then you have something that has to happen on the eighth day, which you have to bring a carbon. So there is a twilight zone in the middle, which is the night between these two things. During the night between these two things, you can't bring the carbon, but it's still really part of the next series of days. We're trying to figure out when there is a disruptive episode, whether it is the Nazir becoming Tamei or the Zav becoming Tamei, when there is a disruptive episode, did that episode disrupt the original continuity of dealing with the first Tumah? And if it did, then that disruption simply extends the original Tumah. Right? Or, what was that?
You only bring one carbon.
Or was the disruption after the culmination, of the original Tumah? And if the disruption was after the culmination of the original Tumah, so then how many korbanos do you bring, David Adler?
Two.
You bring two, because the disruption happened in the middle of the second series of time. Now, you have to bring the two after you're purified, because you can't bring it now, you're tomei, right? So when it came to the Nazir, right, we had Rabbi Yochanan, we had a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. Kasha on Rabbi Yochanan was that Rabbi Yochanan, when it came to the Nazir, he was the one that was saying, Omar balay, af balayla nami mevi. That even if it happened at night, you're still going to bring the carbon, which sounds like that night is relevant, right? Even though he's the one that said that when something's not shayich, it's not relevant. Even though those two phrases are synonymous, right? Right? When it's not applicable, it's not relevant. So forget the Pesach Sheni thing, but we came to the conclusion that no. When you're dealing with that magical night, that night between the end of the first, the end of the purification of the original Tumah and the potential beginning of the second, that the fact that you can't bring the carbon then, it's just a technicality. But it has all of the halachic significance of the next day. So remember, I set up into two extremes, right? So just like if it's happened the next day and you just hadn't yet brought the carbon because you were waiting in line and you weren't first, right? Because there was another three zavs before you, right? Just like that, in that situation, everyone would agree, right? Everyone would agree, let's say by the Nazir, everyone would agree that you're going to bring for both. So too, if it happens at night, everyone agrees you bring for both. That has no bearing on our original calculation. But now the Gemara says, really? Does he hold that the nighttime has no bearing for the original series? That the night, that once it hits nighttime, you're in the new zone completely, and you're only dealing with a post-culminating series disruption? That's not true, because when it comes to the Zav, where we're dealing with a different situation. Because here, what makes it a little more confusing is, as opposed to the Nazir, where only one thing was happening, here, there's a mixture of things happening. In order to make someone a Zav and be Chayiv in the Karban, forget the Karban. In order to make someone a full Zav, and be Chayiv in the Karban, you need three. You need three Re'ios. So Rav Yochanan is the one that says that if two of those Re'ios happen on the seventh night, right, the night after the seventh, the eve of the eighth night, that magical night, if two of those Re'ios happen then Eino Mevi. That is considered as if you disrupted the original series. Whoa! What do you mean you disrupted the original series? You didn't disrupt the original series. He's the one that says that when you're at night, that you're not, the Karban's not Mechusar Zman. Meaning, Karbanos are Shayach at night. Meaning, we're already in the new series. So don't tell me that two disrupt the old, that were part of the old series. Two, and Eino maybe, we're in the new series. That's the whole Yisod by which you resolve the stira between Rav Yochanan in the case of the Chagiga and Rav Yochanan in the case of the Nazir. The whole Yisod you use to reconcile the contradiction between Rav Yochanan, who in the case of the Chagiga said that when you're not shayach to the original Chiyuv, ain lo tashlumin, yet when it came to the Nazir, it sounds like yesh lo tashlumin, is because the carbon's applicable right now. You're already in the new days. But you're not in the new, right? Everybody with me. So, says the Gemara, so that's the problem. We're now in a problem, right? We're in a lot of problems. So, Gikomer Rav Yochanan Ledivrei HaOmer Laila Mechusar Zman. Oh, so the Gemara says, no, don't worry. When he said this din, he was only saying it according to the Shita that holds that Laila is Mechusar Zman. Okay? If Laila is Mechusar Zman, that means that it's not Shayach by Laila. And that's why this case is a case that, that's why this is a case where, even though the two Re'ios happen on the eve of the seventh night, they create a situation that disrupts the original. Because this Shita holds Laila is Mechusar Zman, right? Which means it's part of the original. We haven't moved into the new series. Ledivrei Omer Pshita. So what do you need this whole complicated cheshbon for? Obviously, if you hold that Laila is Mechusar Zman, then it's Pashit. That if you see twice on the eve of the eighth and once on the eighth, you're Eino Mevi. So the Gemara says, Shtayim Bayom Ba'achas Balaila Itzduchale. We needed it for the case of Shtayim Bayom and Achas Balaila. Right? That original case that we thought was so simple. So, I might think that you have to worry about the kasha that is asked by Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi on that case, Komash Milan, Kid Rav Yosef, the way Rav Yosef answers it. What in the world is the Gemara talking about? So, Rashi tells us, this is a sugya in Krisos, to Iskif, we're in the Rashis, where the second little design over Mosif Tosis's goes straight into the Rashi and down about two lines. Mao detaimus de iskif bekrisus alatam shenasin Rav Yosef aladavar kemoshe perashi lemalatei the daraya rishona shakol azavim kari ba'almahu v'chihader chazi tarti mitstarfim ba'adai hachanami loshna. So maskef l'Rav Shishi midami hasam kulu bizman chiyuva chazin hachalab bizman chiyuva dahai karban chazia. So basically his question was, normally, when we say that a person sees one in Zivus independently, it's nothing. It's nothing. What's one is nothing. It's only once you see two and three that one becomes significant, right? So he says, since the one is occurring at night, and the other two are occurring during the day, what gives you the right to be mitzaref these three together? Let the one, which was in a time that the carbon's not shayach anyway, exist as a independent, carry situation, and let the two be part of the new reality, and it's not chayiv in a carbon at all. So comes along the Gemara to resolve
because
that...
It's only two.
Because it's only two. So comes along the Gemara and says, no. Since the carbon is shayach at that particular time, therefore, it's all together. Okay. Avar haregel v'lo chag, eino chayiv b'achriyuso. If the rego passes and we didn't do it, you're not chayiv to make it up. This is actually a song, if I remember, right? Okay, we need a song after the last sugya, right? So the Gemara says, Bar Hehe said to Hillel, Hai lihimanos lihimalos mibayale. This word lihimanos, you shouldn't be, that what's missing cannot be counted. It really should say what's missing cannot be filled, right? What's counted. The imagery is that there's something lacking. So the counter image should be something full, not something counted, right? Mibayle, you need it, elazek, because the imagery is coming to convey the following. Sheminu chaber l'dvar mitzvah, that one of your friends counts you in to do a dvar mitzvah, but hulo nimna imayin, and he doesn't want to go to Eva's kitchen with them. Tanya nami achi, so that's what it means. You miss it, you miss it. There's nothing you could do. You can never make that up. Tanya nami achi, mos lo yuchal iskon, ze shebito kriyashma shal shachris, or kriyashma shal arvis. This is talking about a person who's mevatil, Kriyashma of Shachris and Kriyashma of Arvis. You know, we know that when it comes to Shemona Esrei, oh, Shabito Tfilah Shal Shachris or Tfilah Shal Arvis, right? Or you're Mevatel. This is not talking about a case where it was a shogeg, right? You know, where you're allowed to do a Tashlumen, right? We're talking about a case where a person is Mevatel Tfilah, Mevatel Shachris, Mevatel Arvis. Right? It's interesting that Marav is chosen as an example. Tosis talks about the fact that the Gemara in Brachos already suggests that maybe Marav is a Rishus, right? So the Gemara says, so Tosis discusses, maybe this is going according to the opinion that Marav is a Chova, maybe we've all accepted it as a Chova, but nevertheless, it's a pretty strong statement that lo yuchal lehimonos. So, that this is part of something you can't get back. V'chesun lo yuchal lehimonos zeh sheninu chaver l'dvar mitzvah v'lo nimna imoyim. Right? And that's the brisa that depicts the end of the pasuk is talking about somebody who's drawing you in to do a mitzvah with them, and you resist. Amar le barhei lehilo my dechsev v'shavtem. What does the pasuk mean when it says v'shavtem ureisem bein sadik l'rasha? When you return, you will see the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. Be'obed Elohim la'asher lo avado, and from someone who serves Hashem to someone who doesn't serve Him. Hainu tzaddik, hainu obed Elohim. A tzaddik is the same thing as an obed Hashem. Hainu rasha, hainu shelo avo. No, so it seems like it's repetitive. It's just in kasha, since pretty much the entire Nevi'im and Ksuvim is full of these parallelisms of poetry that, you know, like to just sort of pick one and be like, why is this repetitive? Like, you know, the whole Sefer Eicha is 90,000 different ways to say that we're upset. You know what I'm saying? But, okay, so the Gemara says, Why is that? So Amar le avdo v'lo avdo tarvayu tzadiki. Actually, the point of this pasuk is those who serve and those who don't serve, they're both tzadikim gemurim ninu. The eino dome, so they're both tzadikim. Then what are we saying that one is so much less than the other? So the Gemara says eino dome shona pirko mea pamim l'shona pirko mea ve'echod. Actually, one is talking about somebody who reviews the top of Tesamid Beis of Maseches Chagiga 100 times, right? And one is talking about someone who reviews it 101 times. What's the difference between 100 and 101? So Rashi says, Ava pi sheshneim tzadikim, they're both tzadikim, lo avdu b'shava shezeh avdo yoser. In other words, the point is that we measure people's commitment not only in terms of the sort of like quantitative metric of what they've invested into it. We measure people's commitment based also on their disposition towards it. Somebody who goes to 101 instead of 100 is someone that's trying harder. There's someone that's trying more. Someone that's doing it again, right? This also brings up the very important value of Chazara, which is one of the great values of Daf HaShavua, right? That this leaves us time. Right? Daf Yomi leaves you very little time to chazer. Daf HaShavua leaves you an enormous amount of time to chazer. So this is very, very important. If you have 7 days, Yitz, who's the accountant, sponsoring the shir. How many times would you have to chazer it per day to get to 101 to be a tzaddik gomer?
A lot.
A lot. A lot.
14.2.
Okay. Bring your taxes to Yitz. So, Amar Le. Amar Le. Mishum chad zimna. Kari Le lo. Avdu. Because of one time. Amar Le in. Tzeleman. Mishuk shel chamrin. Go see the shuk of the chamrin, of the donkey riders. Asara parse bezuzah. When they have to go 10 parsos, they charge a zuz. Charasar. When it's only one more, that's 10% more, right? When it's only one more, so what do they charge? Trey zuze. They charge two zuzim. So 100% increase for a 10% increase in output. In other words, it's just meant to say that it makes a big difference. This is really true, by the way, that, you know, very often I find it very tempting to stop reviewing something as soon as you feel like you really understood it, right? And there's a huge difference between the next two or three. To review it while actually understanding it a few times and then have it go in. I actually also sometimes find that that's when I un-understand it. That you understand it clearly, then you go over it a few times, then somehow by really drilling down on the details, and you don't have to expend as much mental energy, so you really kind of focus on all the different pieces, things open up, and things that you didn't realize were a question are a question, and you'd be surprised. So the concept of chazar is really important in terms of retention and in terms of the depth of our havana. Okay, so says the Gemara, Amarle Eliyahu lebarhehe. So Barhehe got a visit from Eliyahu. So the Amarle le Rabbi Elazar, my dechsev, what does the Torah mean when it says, what does the pasuk mean when it says in Yeshayahu, Hine tziravticha velo v'chosef becharticha bechur oni. Right? What does that mean? Melamed shechazar HaKadosh Baruch Hu al komidos tovos litan liYisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at all the different things that he could use to form Yisrael. Tziravticha means to sort of like mold you, molten you. Lo b'kesef, I'm not going to do it with like silver, with fire, something that uses fire, but I'm going to choose poverty. V'lo matza ela anius. HaKadosh Baruch Hu found that poverty is what brings out reflection and change. Poverty meaning not abject poverty, where your mom is like destitute, but poverty meaning you have to struggle. Amar Shmuel b'Tamar Rabbi Yosef, Hanadam Yinshi, that's what people say, Yo anius ali yudai. That a little bit of poverty is good for the Jews. Ki barza sumko lesus yachiyuro. Like a red strap is good for a white horse, that you can see the contrast. In other words, when you have to work for it a little bit and you feel that sense of dependency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dependence or dependency? Dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then you, that increases your relationship. Rav Shimon Menasi Omer Zeh Movas, Lo Yuchol Lisko, Nzeh Abala Erva, V'holi Mimenim Mamzer. So the Gemara says, hold on, hold it in, lo hold it low. You're telling me that the irrevocable consequences of a illicit relationship are only present when there is a mamzer born? And if a mamzer wasn't born, this is like we just walk away? That somebody who steals can return that which he stole. And fix it. Can return what he stole and he can fix it. But someone who has an extramarital affair, someone who has a relationship with a married woman, the asra lebailu. So this is an important halacha to know, that if two people have a consensual affair, though, and the woman is a married woman having an affair with a man, whether married or unmarried. The woman is now asur lebal and asur leboel. The woman can never have relations with the person who she had the affair with, and she can no longer have relations with her husband. If it's a kohen, then even if that relationship was not consensual, she becomes asur lebal. So the Gemara says, so if a person has an affair, so then what are you saying, that the only consequence is a mamzer? You've destroyed the marriage of the person that you had the affair with. You know, even if they could reconcile the emotional aspects of this and the violations of trust and all of that, they can't live together as husband and wife. So the Gemara says, nitron mina olam, the halachlo. That kind of person, somebody who does that, is nitron mina olam, the halachlo. He should be removed from the world. What a terrible thing to do. Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai says, Ein Omer bikro gamal bikro chazir, ela bikro tele. When we talk about what the things are that can't be reversed, we don't talk about something that's in something that's wrong. We talk about something that's in something that's right. Therefore, it refers more to a Talmud Chacham that's perish min haTorah. He would have been lucky. Shemar kol Talmud Chacham sheperish min haTorah. Talmud Chacham that's perish min haTorah. All of Akasav Omer ketzipor no dedes min akane, like the bird that flies from its nest. Kein ish no dein mi mekoma. So too, this individual has gone away from their space. The Omer mamatzu avosechem bi avel ki rachaku me'alai. And Hashem says about this person, you know, what have these people found that, you know, disgusting in me, that they have gone far away from me? So now we go back to the original question, right? The original question was, what do you mean, hold it in, lo hold it low? What do you mean that the only thing wrong is that there's a Vlad Mamzer? Even just the rendering of this relationship, Usser, is problematic. So the Gemara says, lo kasha. Kan ba'achoso pinuya, kan ba'eshesish. The case where the Gemara is talking about where the only consequence is the mamzer is talking about, God forbid, a relationship with, let's say, a single sister. So there, if a child is born of that relationship, so that child's a mamzer. If a child's not born of that relationship, it doesn't aser anybody. The brother's aser to her anyway, and she's not married. So obviously the ramifications emotionally, physically are extraordinary. But in terms of dealing with something that halachically can't be reversed, it's not the same. They're both talking about a case of Eishes Ish. One's talking about a case where it was forced. If it was forced, she does not become Asur Labayla. And one's talking about a case where it was consensual. And we could say that both are talking about a case of ones. Both are talking about a case where it was forced. Here's talking about an Eishes Kohen. In Eishes Kohen, there would be irrevocable consequences for this situation, even without a Vlad Mamzer. Kan be'eishes Yisrael. And this is talking about a case of Eishes Yisrael. So this is a big, this is a very serious issue in halacha. First of all, it's important to understand that obviously we're always concerned and focused on the sanctity of marriage and marital relationships and the boundaries that are so critical to make sure that a person never finds themselves in a situation where a temptation can potentially lead to something that's problematic, and to appreciate that those boundaries go essentially entirely unrespected, if that's a word, by our current culture and society, right? And this is not a political statement, but when I think it was Mike Pence who mentioned that he doesn't have meals only with other married women or with other women than his wife, and the media went crazy. What are you, choshesh every woman that she's going to tempt you into or whatever? And that says a lot about our society, that it has very little honesty, because a society that frankly is fueling the environment with so much hypersexuality and temptation, that sells cars by exploiting women and sells French fries by exploiting women and tries to get everybody to look at every billboard through doing the same thing, you know, and then when somebody is trying to manage those temptations and deal with them, you know, all of a sudden accuses them of, somehow this is the society that cares so much about the dignity of women. So that's kind of shocking and pretty hypocritical. And one of the reasons why we have to be sure that our boundaries on these issues come from our tradition. Our tradition is ein apotropos la'arayos. Nobody is ever trusted with the temptations of sexuality. The Isser Yichud applies to you, applies to me, applies to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, applies to anybody that you would ever imagine that their holiness and sanctity could transcend any concern or any issue. everybody is not only commanded not to do something that's inappropriate, but commanded to asu sag la Torah, not to do something that could come to something that's inappropriate. And
put a fence around it.
And we should think about that. We should think about that when we find ourselves in certain situations. And sometimes those situations require some sacrifices. That, we can't develop as close of a business relationship predicated on a social dynamic as we would like or as others can, because we're being maktish these situations to ensure that things are happening appropriately. And the same thing goes just for the general interaction between couples, to put some distance between and not to become friends, best friends, and so comfortable in such fluid ways between spouses, because things happen. And things happen everywhere. Things happen in this community, things happen in other communities, things happen in every community imaginable. And very often the situations are such that it is not somebody who was walking down the street and was tempted by some random woman somewhere. Very often there are situations where there were plenty of opportunities to pull the ripcord before things deteriorated to a point of no return. And those situations would have been situations of creating gedarim, and people rationalize that they don't need these gedarim and that they're antiquated and they trust themselves, and things happen. And then when things happen, there are very serious ramifications. The poskim discuss extensively the nature of this din. It's a big question exactly when a woman who engages in an extramarital affair becomes usur to her husband. Is that something that she could substantiate? Is that something that we require Adim to substantiate? And that's very relevant when dealing with a situation of, first of all, does one tell the woman? The woman obviously knows. Does one tell her husband? And that becomes a very big discussion in the poskim. Does one tell her husband, since he's going to be living with her, Be'isser? So that's a big discussion. And some poskim are machmir on that question, since they're going to live the famous Nodeb Yehuda that goes through a shikul back and forth based on machlokes between the Rosh and the Rambam about whether or not you tell someone that they're wearing shatnas in the street. And but the Nodeb Yehuda concludes that since the husband's going to be living with this woman be'isser often, so you should tell him. Then there are other poskim, modern day poskim, that are a little more makel on this, based on the fact that maybe the Issa doesn't apply unless there were Adim, unless your mamash had Adim, which is pretty worse, right? so based on that possibility, and a Snif Lahakel, the Pagam Mishpacha, the ramifications for their children, if people find out, that people will find out. Based on the Suffolk, you don't actually know that they're going to live together. That's not an established fact, even though it's a presumed fact. And basically, they're mitzarif a lot of these different issues, and there are poskim that allow one to work on rebuilding the marriage and rebuilding the trust and rebuilding the situation and creating the context for tshuva without necessarily pulling the couple apart. But it's a very, very complicated issue. It's a very complicated situation. But nevertheless, it's something that we have to recognize, that there is a really serious consequence to not being careful. The Gemara says, Amar Rav, Kevan sheyotze adam midvar halacha lidvar mikra, shuv ein lo shalom. If a person stops learning halacha in order to just learn mikra, they're not going to find shalom. Shmuel Amar, ze aporish mitalmud lemishna. So first, is someone who's porish mitalmud lemishna. Rav Yochanan Amar Afilu Mishas L'Shas, even from the Shas Yerushalmi and the Shas between the Shas Bavli to the Shas Yerushalmi, being Poresh, and basically what the Gemara is saying is not necessarily, when the Mefarshim explain, it's not necessarily that there's something wrong with learning these things, but a person should always be striving to intensify their commitment. A person should always be striving to move up and up. Exclusively learning Tanakh is problematic, because Tanakh can only be fully appreciated in the context of Torah Shebaal Peh, right? The Gemara is making this statement before Rashi on Chumash, and the Ramban on Chumash, and the Artskol on Chumash, and the Or Chaim, and the Kli Yakar, and all these different things. It's referring to somebody who's exclusively dealing with Pshat. So a person needs to always be person needs to understand these psukim and needs to relate to them, and it's a huge part of our heritage, our tradition, our identity, but always be moving up in complexity and understanding and interpretation in order to be able to be growing in Talmud Torah. Okay, have a wonderful day.
Sure. Yeah.
Do we have a minute eventually?